We did the Greg Palm for college football. We had another college football question because media days going on right now in the Big Ten, in the Big Ten capital of the world, Las Vegas. Now, there's not a lot of things that I really agree with James Franklin on. I'm not a huge James Franklin fan, nor are you, John.
No.
But what he said yesterday was so accurate. He couldn't understand. He goes, having this here in Las Vegas is a joke. It's basically what he said.
Yep.
So we have beat writers, you know, from like small publications because they can't afford or their company can't afford to send them to Las Vegas for a few days. So he goes, a lot of our beat writers aren't even here. In Chicago, you walk around the hotel, there's players, people signing autographs. He goes, there's no... Around there, I think in Mandalay Bay is where they're. He goes, there's no like Big Ten. There's no signage. There's no buzz. There's nothing.
Then go see the shark exhibit. I say that jokingly because I've always like, I understand. Okay, it's not even halfway, but it is somewhere in the middle for those West Coast teams now that the Big Ten is going coast to coast versus the East Coast teams. But there is no inherent fan base in Las Vegas for Big Ten football.
I guess they think maybe people aren't traveling to take their kids to Big Ten Media Day because they can't get in.
No, if you can, James Franklin, and I've been to Big Ten Media Days a number of times as a player and in the media side of things or on the university side of things. Mm-hmm. When you walk around the hotel or you walk around the city in Chicago, mm-hmm. there are people that will travel to Chicago for Big Ten Media Days, because there's always a luncheon, and that's, I don't know if they even have a luncheon at Big Ten Media Days anymore in Vegas, because there are no fans that make that trip. But when you walk around a hotel, you get a chance to see the players, and you may not know any face recognition for
right.
an offensive lineman from Nebraska is probably not high. But you see a guy walking around who's 6'6 and big, you're mm-hmm. like, okay, he must be a player. And people would go up and talk to them. Or you walk around town, there's Big Ten fans there. They've got the banners up on the light posts. I just don't understand why they did it. And if it's just simply because, oh, well, we don't want our West Coast teams to have to travel that far. Well, tough. All right. You accepted them in. They accepted the invitation. They know what it's like to be a part of the Big Ten now. Everyone should be in Chicago. It should be a Midwest city. It's a Midwest conference.
It should. But even if you're going to go and... you know, appease the other side for a year. Have it in L.A. That's where your teams, those two teams are.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I don't think you're ever going to have it in Eugene.
No.
But yeah, have it in L.A.
Yeah. All right. So it is Media Day, and both Jonathan Smith and Sharon Moore and some players will be speaking today. It's the last day of the three. You know, we're with what, 30 days away?
Today is 30 days. That's why we did Greg Palm.
Right.
Because we are 30 days away mm-hmm. from college football season, live college football. Michigan State going to kick off the season. I don't know when Michigan State reports. It's got to be right around the same time.
They
might even be a day earlier because they play on that Friday night.
Correct.
So they report the 29th. I think Michigan reports the 30th of this month. And we'll be rocking and rolling. And everybody wants to know, what is Michigan State going to be this year?
Mm-hmm.
What is Michigan going to be this year? There's obviously a little bit more intrigue because you have the number one recruit. He's a quarterback. He's at Michigan. So there's a lot of questions. Is he going to be the starter? Is he not going to be the starter? The question we want to ask is, what's the swing game for both of these programs, especially early on in the season? Which one is a... you just find out about this team. And I think for Michigan, it's kind of an easy answer. It's Oklahoma.
I know that's going to be the common, that's going to be the theme. Of most people would suggest Oklahoma. It's on the road, historic program. They're good. They're not great. You'll be able to tell a lot of things. I get all that.
And so just to dig a little bit deeper into Oklahoma, I know Oklahoma didn't make the Greg Palm top 12.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a year for Brent Venables. This is his job.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't get to 9 wins, maybe even double digits, I don't know that he gets another year in Norman, Oklahoma. So what did he do? Their defense is going to be just fine. They're going to be a good defense. They got some athletes. They got speed defensively. But their quarterback, he went to Washington State and got John Mateer. You want to talk about a true dual threat quarterback. And I know that I wouldn't expect a whole lot of people here to have watched a lot of Washington State Cougar football last year. But this is a guy that threw for over 3,000 yards last year, over 65% completion percentage, and he rushed for almost 850 yards as well. And now, he's not an imposing figure. I think he's about 6 foot flat, and that might be with a pair of lifts on. But he is a dude that can air it out and can pick up some things on the ground. And we all know at the NFL level, everybody's trying to figure out how to stop a mobile quarterback. Michigan has always struggled with stopping a dual-threat mobile quarterback.
Going back decades, even when you played there.
Oh, yeah, Donovan McNabb. And I wouldn't even necessarily call him a dual-threat quarterback. He was in the Big House.
Yes, he was.
And so, yeah, Michigan has struggled with stopping a dual-threat quarterback. So that's why I think it's, for me, it's Oklahoma. It's going to be a freshman quarterback on the road, try to take on that environment. And you're not going to learn a lot against New Mexico.
No.
Before you say who your swing game is for Michigan, and I'm curious what it is for Michigan State as well. Mm-hmm. We got a special edition of Dear John today.
Oh, boy.
Since Costa's not here, at 7:35, Heather and I will be asking a very experienced, knowledgeable individual the questions, and that would be one Michael Steven Stone. So I want to give you just a little bit of a teaser. I always like getting these when I'm answering the questions, and we'll, Heather and I will give our 2 cents, but that's all it's going to be worth is a couple of cents. Yours is, it's $1 million.
Oh, yeah.
Eight questions here. So the topics.
Yeah.
Leaving early, bachelor party, vegans, and G-strings. So, okay. 7:35. Make sure you tune in for one Mike Stone answering the Dear John questions today.
Okay.
All right.
We will do that. All right. My swing game for the University of Michigan is not the Oklahoma game.
Okay.
However, it's not too far from that game. It's the Big Ten opener at Nebraska.
Okay.
And you talk about environments. Now, Oklahoma, it'll be sold out. It'll be loud and all that stuff. You've told me, other people have told me, one of the greatest environments and toughest environments to play in is at Lincoln. And Nebraska, they're improving. They're not a great team. Dylan Raiola, you have another former Lion who transferred there. Rocco Spindler plays for Nebraska now.
Yeah.
And I think Nebraska is a team
that's... Another child of a former Lion.
What did I say?
You said former Lion.
Oh, okay, yes.
Yes.
My bad. So I think they're a team that's on the very slow rise. Their coach is fiery. That place is going to be crazy. It'll be Bryce Underwood's first Big Ten game. Sherrone Moore will not be coaching that game as of now. We don't know.
Oh, really?
Isn't that the one he's missing?
No, there was a leak that said that they were going to have a 2-game suspension and it was going to be Central and Nebraska, but No.
Okay. Because actually, when it comes to that, I'd rather have missed the Oklahoma game than miss the Nebraska game, because the Nebraska game is a conference game.
Right.
So that's my swing game to me, is because it's a conference game, tough environment on the road.
I get it. And it is a tough environment. Michigan has come out on top the last, many times that they've been there.
Right. Didn't was there a game there Greg would know better? Denard Robinson got hurt in a game, and they ended up losing that game because of that?
Correct, and then we turned our eyes towards Russell Bellamy, and he was disappointed.
Oh, my God.
Right, yes. I remember watching that game, and I don't remember what year. Greg, what year was that?
2012.
2012.
And Brady Hoke decided the next week, Devin Gardner's going to be our quarterback now.
I was sitting at an airport bar with one Jim Wrestler, because we had just finished a Big Ten game, and I forget where we were coming from.
I have no idea who Jim Wrestler is.
Jim Wrestler?
Yeah.
Jim Wrestler's a Michigan grad. He is a producer for the Big Ten Network. Produces a lot of college football and a lot of different things. But anyway, lives in Ann Arbor.
Sounds like a combination of two sports. He's a Jim Wrestler.
Oh, yes. Anyway, I just remember sitting there watching that game, and it kind of had the same reaction that Greg just had, or you had, when Greg made the announcement that, yes, Denard Robinson was hurt and Bellamy was in.
Yeah.
Yes, that was a loss. So it is a tough environment. It is one of the, and actually I would probably say the nicest fan base in all of college football. I remember leaving there one game and they were, hey, thanks for coming. That was a really terrific matchup.
I met some Nebraska fans the first time they came to Michigan. They were like the nicest human beings on the planet.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. And yeah, it gets a little bit ruckus during the game. And they, everybody has this. I mean, Michigan does it now. I'm sure Michigan State doesn't, where they've put the LED lights in and they flash them and going into the fourth quarter. And it's, they do the black and the red and everything goes dark. And I think that it's Thunderstruck that they play. It's cute.
It's cute?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't necessarily see it as, I wouldn't put it in the
Mr. Brightside thing?
Oh, it's better than that.
Okay.
It's better than
I
that.
I love it.
I love Mr. Brightside, but that's not a fire up moment for the team.
No, until you look at the lyrics.
It's not jump around.
Right.
All right. What Lincoln does is more like jump around than it is Mr. Brightside. All right. It's kind of an apples to oranges comparison.
Okay. So I think it's Nebraska, the swing game for Michigan. You think it's Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
For the Spartans, to me, and you're going to laugh your ass off at this one, but as far as swing game and determining how the season will end up, maybe the future of Jonathan Smith. And at first I thought about doing the Michigan game, but that's always a huge game, so I'm not going to pick that one. I'm going to pick a weird game.
Okay.
Saturday, October 11th, home against a very mediocre UCLA team. Because the Spartans will be coming off two road games at USC, at Nebraska. If they can't beat UCLA at home, Jonathan Smith probably needs to go looking for a new house somewhere. That's going to be a huge, who knows? If Michigan State can beat USC and Nebraska or something, come into that game with a 2-0 Big Ten record and maybe undefeated at 5-0 going into that, that's a different story. But I don't expect that to happen. But UCLA is probably on their schedule, their easiest conference game, maybe the last home game against Maryland. Or that's at Ford Field, though.
That's at Ford Field, yeah. And Maryland has always given, Mike Loxley led Maryland, has always given Michigan State fits.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. And so I guess let's start with this in regards to wondering about that UCLA game being a swing game for them. It is a must win for them.
Right.
Do you think this is a team that can get to 500, 6-6, and be a bowl team?
I think they can get to 6-6, assuming that, Boston College may be the swinging. I might be determining it.
So that's where I'm going.
Yeah,
Boston College, Bill O'Brien. I think he's a tremendous coach. He's a horrible GM, but a tremendous coach.
Right.
And what he's done at his brief time at Boston College, I think if that Michigan State team starts 2-1, because I do think they'll beat Western, and I do think they'll beat Youngstown State. I'm not sure if they don't win that Boston College game, I'm not sure they become bowl eligible. That's why I think that's the swing game for them. It's hard to say must win, but for
on week two, yes,
week two. But it's kind of that way for what we talked about week two for Michigan,
right,
and Oklahoma. Not different opponents, but. And different level of opponent, but I do think that Boston College game, because it's at home, because it's Bill O'Brien, and we know that, it was a great game last year, it's really going to be important for Michigan State to win that game for the fan base and for them to be able to get to six wins. Because you mentioned, I'm sorry, Greg, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to mention, John, yes, that is the same day as Michigan-Oklahoma. We call it Swing Game Saturday.
There you go. Yes.
So, and by the way, Stoney, one more thing.
Yeah.
It is your pet peeve. The topic you wanted to enact a law out of, they're playing at 7:30 the same time as Michigan-Oklahoma.
Michigan State Boston College at the same time?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, 7:30. Yeah. Except, well, the NBC Peacock, Michigan State and Boston College. So you're going to be streaming that one. Although, so you can have multiple screens.
Well, Xfinity, because I have Xfinity, we get Peacock for free, I think.
Right, but I mean, that's one where, okay, you got to go to a different app, and then you get the spinning wheel, and so it's harder to change channels. So you're going to need an extra TV.
Mm-hmm.
You have the man cave with the extra TV?
I have a man cave at two TV, but my two TVs I haven't replaced in years, so they're like
not smart.
They're not HD.
They're dumb.
They're not smart. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I could be going. I'll be going to the Oklahoma
that's
game,
right.
So I could watch both games because that's why we'll fly to Norman, Oklahoma, is to watch the game and also watch Michigan State play on my phone.
There you go. Problem solved.
Wonderful.
Greg, you won't actually do that, will you?
Oh, absolutely not.
Yes.
Greg, what are you? So
that was a little dry for you guys.
Yes,
Greg,
yes.
What are your swing games for these two teams?
I agree with Michigan that it's going to be at Oklahoma. It's not the conference game, but it is a huge test for this team. And it's against a team that is going to have some urgency. The coach is going to have a lot of urgency. I think Oklahoma fans want to like Brent Venables. They want him to be the guy replacing Lincoln Riley. They were longing for him because he was the defensive coordinator there, then went to Clemson, had a lot of success at Clemson. They want him to be successful. But he had the 110 win season in year two, and it's been sandwiched by a couple of 6-6 seasons. So that's going to be a huge game for them. I think Oklahoma is gearing for that game as well. So I think it's going to mean a lot for both teams. So I actually do agree with that. Michigan at Oklahoma game being Michigan's swing game. As for Michigan State, Stoney, I really like where you're head at with UCLA. I like that. I would say also a game like at Minnesota, something that can be maybe a Big Ten equal, or maybe they're just a little bit of a cut above them. Can they kind of jump the line and jump ahead of Minnesota in that kind of Big Ten pecking order?
Or at Indiana. Or if I would have picked Michigan, Oklahoma, I might have done Michigan State at Nebraska. But I didn't. I didn't run Nebraska twice either.
I'm curious as to what, is there any world where Michigan State can travel out to Southern Cal and get a win against USC? USC was a 6-6 team last year.
Yeah, there's a way. Jonathan Smith has played in that building before, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He coached at Oregon State.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a world.
That might be a sneaky swing game for them. If they're able to get by Boston College and go 3-0 to start the season, they go to USC.
There'll be a lot of buzz. And Spartan fans will travel too. That'll be a lot of green.
It could be a lot of fun out there.
Absolutely.